Kevin McCullough, glad you're with us. We generally speak on this broadcast about the breaking news as it's happening, and then we try to tell you what it means and, to some degree, why it matters. But when we have folks that are in the area that have come in and have something important to say, I love to give you a chance to be exposed to some of what they have as well. And I'm honored to have my next guest, who is a multiple-time New York Times bestselling author. Stedman Graham is his name. When Lady Hope from our front desk put him in the green room, she came back to say, "Now, Kev, there's a gentleman in the green room, and I cannot place him, but I know him from somewhere." I said, "Oh, that's Oprah's guy." And she just about lost her mind just at that very moment. Stedman, welcome to New York. Fans and all, people's all over the place.
Thank you so much. More normally when people say, "I know that guy's from somewhere. What's his name? Who are you?" And I say, "Michael Jordan." That's who I am. I used to play basketball. I was a star.
That's there you go. There you go. Well, and it's your friendship with Oprah has been lauded publicly.
More than friendship.
But you guys have known each other for how long?
Probably for over 30 years. Wow. Yeah, we've been together.
Yeah,
so it's been
That's fantastic.
Yeah,
thanks for coming in. You've written a series of books, and the word identity has been involved in many of them. Why is that word so important to you?
Man, that's my life. That's everything to me. It's what I dedicated my life to teach other, dedicate my life to be able to teach other people the process of success and how it works. And it starts with knowing who you are. Otherwise, you're just kind of going through the motions. Often I say, you know, you wake up in the morning, you wash your face, you brush your teeth, you get something to eat, you get the kids off to school, you work all day, come home in the afternoon, you spend time with the family, you watch TV, you go to bed, maybe you dream that's Monday. And so we're always working, mm-hmm. working. We never mm-hmm. get a chance to think, organize, develop, or create our potential because it's not set up that way. Mm-hmm. And traditionally, the school system is set up to memorize and take tests, repeat the information back, get labeled with a grade, and 2 weeks later, you forget the information. So, you know, you don't learn anything. So you're pretty much just a shell walking around waiting for somebody to tell you what to do. Mm-hmm. And you become a follower. It's hard to become a leader, right, if you can't lead yourself. Which is what this identity leadership is all about.
The name of the book is Identity Leadership: Purpose, Passion, and Performance. To lead others, you must first lead yourself.
Yeah, so how do you do that?
Amazon,
so the identity is the first step in this process of knowing how to organize your life, what to focus on.
What are the ingredients of identity? How do you decide what it is?
Love is the big word. You know, and you can, if you want to define love, you can define it as passion and purpose and skills, talents, and abilities, all those things that you love and care about. That becomes your foundation for organizing.
So what you naturally see yourself,
you are so good
loving at.
Naturally seeing yourself loving.
Okay.
So it's a natural core foundational piece of who you represent.
Well, we've all heard the phrase, and my grandfather said it 1,000 times, but if you love what you do, you never work a day in your life. And there's some degree of truth to that because you don't think of the things that you do out of passion as difficult. They may have hard elements about them, but if you really love what you're doing, it gets you through.
Yeah, and that's the key, is to make that practical.
Right.
So how do you begin to organize everything you love? Take the 24 hours that you have every single day, which is what makes everyone equal. How do you take the 24 hours and organize around what you love to create a solid identity?
Let me back up from there just for a second.
Okay.
This is fascinating because I've got 3 kids, 9, almost 7, and almost 5. And so they're like these perfect little stair steps. But they already are so different in terms of what their interests are and where their natural passions lie. So my 9-year-old is an architect and a chemist, and he's into theory, and he wants to understand code, and there's just, he's a technical engineering kind
left
of
brain,
mind.
Left brain. Right.
My middle child, my second son, loves animals. He loves to be part of the class. He wants to be in the midst with his friends. He'll sit on the couch to watch one of his favorite movies. He'll have every stuffed animal off his bed sitting around him. He wants to be in the pack. And then my daughter just is running the entire show for everyone all the time. How can I, as a dad, picking up on what you're talking about, begin to sow seeds of those ingredients so that even as they're being trained in those areas and passions, they begin to understand that identity earlier than maybe someone like me did when I was like late 20s, early 30s.
I think the way to do it is to organize the content around their interests. And if you love animals, then you read animal books.
Right.
You do animal things. You do all those things. You study. You learn what a veterinarian does. You learn all of the different nuances of animals and safaris and all of that. So, because once they lock into that, then
they've got it.
They got it.
Yeah.
So that's their life. And then study business. You know, learn how to organize, you know, the marketplace. Learn how to use technology.
Can identity be, so maybe you've identified your passion and you're thinking, well, I know what I love, but maybe I'm doing a job right now that I just despise. Maybe I'm not spending my life doing what I really want to do. Is it always the wise thing?
Maybe it's there, but you haven't studied it. Maybe you haven't created a plan. So maybe you're just doing the same thing over and over every single day. So if you take this radio show, you know, and you just walk in and just doing the show, okay, that probably you'll probably get burned out a little bit after a while.
Yeah. No, but, I'm fascinated by conversation, so I know I'm doing the right thing.
Okay, fantastic. So I just threw that out there. See how you're going to react, okay? So, but if you took this name, this brand, this show, and you'd use your communication skills to change the world, and then you connect it to the internet, and you created alliances and partnerships and media tech, and you dived into education as a segment, into technology as a segment.
So furthering it as far as you can make
that's
it
the second
flourish.
Step. Okay. Because once you understand who you are, then you create a vision for yourself.
Right.
So the vision is not where you are. The vision is where you're going. So your vision determines your social economic development. Okay, that's your money.
Yeah.
And that's also your legacy. So if you get stuck in the box of doing the same thing over and over every single day, you can't think beyond yourself. Pretty much that's the definition of poverty.
Yeah, finding the identity and then flourishing the identity, it seems to me, are two different things. Let me ask you about leadership. I recently read somewhere or heard, actually I heard a pastor say this in church on a Sunday, but he had been reading different leadership books and he said that really good leaders start to look at their calendar differently than non-leaders do. And so non-leaders may have a calendar and they may have four or five things for their day written down. But like top level leaders see each hour in like 5 minute increments. And if they, and they may not schedule in 5 minute increments, but if they can reclaim 5, 10, 15 minutes in an hour to apply to something that wasn't scheduled, then they're more productive. And that's how leaders get more done, because they're viewing the inventory, as you said, that the 24 hours a day is what we all have as equal. They're viewing it with more units of potential than the average person does. How important is that kind of stewardship of your time and planning and
it's
so forth?
It's critical. I mean, you know, everything is about planning. Everything is about your time, because you can't recoup your time.
Right.
So I try to be, you know, 5 years out. So I'm 5 and 10 years out. Okay. In order to be create a structure around those years to figure out what my time is going to look like today, where am I going to be, what my week is going to look like, what my month is going to look like, what my year is going to look like, based on, you know, the vision of where I'm going, who I want to become. So it's a beautiful process to structure that in a way that you can create whatever you want to in that time frame. So you're 10 years out in your life. Man, you can pretty much make that happen if you're in your passion, if you're doing exactly what you want to do.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you're not, you're going to get, you're just trying too hard. But if it's a natural flow and you begin to research and organize the content around your vision based on the core of who you are, so you're aligned, right? And then you begin to organize the resources and make those relevant to you so you can actually control your time, control what you do, control the information, and eliminate all those time wasters, right?
Right.
That have nothing to do with who you should become.
But learning in the process of who I am, about who I am, and how to be better at who I am mm-hmm. is also good. It's learning, like, for instance, go back to Oprah. Before she had the TV show, she didn't know nearly as much then about TV as she does now.
Of course.
Right? So
of course.
Over time, she figured out how to do things better here and better there and own this part of it and sublet that and do this. She figured out the process that she didn't know on day one, and that's what made her get to that level.
And Kevin, so the process of success, this is what's important, is the same for everybody. Doesn't make any difference
right.
So
learn.
Some people know it, some people don't. And some people are going way over here, and some people are going way over here to the left. But you want to be able to move to center as much as you possibly can, and then align the resources around you and have clarity about what you're doing, what are the skill sets, what are the talents you need, what people do you need,
right.
What's your team look like
to
support that, what's the structure look like, what is the you know the operations look like, what is the day-to-day look like, and your job as a leader is to be able to align all of that together. That's the power of leadership, right? Because everybody's not going to be focused on what they love and what they care about. Everybody's
Absolutely.
Not going to have the structure. They may not have the opportunities. So the leader says, I'm willing to do what most people don't want to do. I'm willing to do it 24/7. I'm willing to be here 3 o'clock in the morning.
I can't sleep.
Yeah, I'm willing to do all of those things that will separate me from the person who just wants to go out and after 5 o'clock. You know, 5 o'clock the work is over. Go play softball. You know, just hang out somewhere.
The book is called Identity, Leadership, Purpose, Passion, Performance. To lead others, you must first lead yourself. Stedman Graham is its author. Stedman, I want to go to you lay out a number of steps in here. There are 9 steps that you specifically identify after a number of chapters of kind of defining your terms and figuring out, you know, exactly what you're talking about. Then you kind of give us the formula for it. One of the steps jumps off the page at me. Step number 6, pilot the seasons of change. I think with every entrepreneur I've ever spoken with every aspiring actor that wants to make it on Broadway, with every aspiring broadcaster trying to break into the media, with every aspiring business owner, there's that curveball that comes out of nowhere that has the potential to knock you completely out of the game, or is something that you can use to change something about what you're doing. Talk about how to pilot those curveballs when they come at you.
Not what happens to you, how you respond to it. So you're talking about emotional intelligence to be able to deal with things in a way that allows them to disseminate without you putting a lot of effort into it. So you got to have the flow. Today is about flow. I think someone wrote a book about that. Today is about flexibility. It's about adjusting. It certainly is about being able to control your emotions.
Mm-hmm.
That's a big one. Can you not get angry? Can you not get upset?
Depressed.
Can you not get depressed? And also, can you turn your energy around? So, you know, the most powerful thing I know, Kevin, is being able to change your energy and being able to change it from negative to positive. You know, so because the law of attraction says whatever you put out comes back. So if you're talking about love as the foundation for growth and development, and love is all powerful, and God is love and all of that, you're also talking about how you manage yourself and how do you maintain a positive attitude as opposed to a negative attitude. That has helped me personally. That has changed my life. The only reason I'm here today is because of that principle.
Well, you learn more in the change seasons than you do in even the success seasons, because that's where your weaknesses are exposed, and you learn how to overcome the deficits or the problems.
Yeah, only the strong survive in that situation. So you have to learn how to, as a talent, be the strongest person you can become so you can survive the obstacles and overcome the changes that you'll face every single day.
Michael Jordan missed however many game-winning shots before he hit his first one in a championship.
Yeah,
it's
a bunch of most shooters miss a bunch of shots. You know?
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, that's what I love. I love to shoot, but I don't miss some. You know,
right?
Show me a shot I didn't like.
Well, and also with that emotional intelligence, there's a thing called mental toughness that you kind of see the road for where it's going, and knowing that eventually you want to be there, that this can't be allowed to take you out because you've got to be able to.
You're not born with it.
No, it's got to grow.
You got to grow.
Yeah,
you got to grow through it, but you have to understand the principle, and you also have to be passionate enough to be able to overcome the obstacles when you don't even know where the answers are coming from.
Mm-hmm.
You run into the business, you don't know where the money is coming from. You don't even know if you can make payroll.
Every entrepreneur in the audience is shaking their head yes right now.
Yeah, so you got to be able to believe in yourself enough to know that you're not going to quit. No matter what happens, you're going to go through it.
Yeah.
And you're going to get to the other side. And sometimes you fail, but you start over and you get up, you keep getting up, and then you learn. And then the next time it happens, you know, you hopefully learn what to do before it happens, or you can see it coming before it happens.
Yeah. Knowing the warning signs is really,
yeah, so
really critical.
Can you sustain yourself over a long period of time doing the changes, even though you're going through very tough times, like we are right now? We're adjusting to the 21st century. 21st century said, where's your skills? Where's your talents? Where's your abilities? I don't care about your degree.
That's really true. And I've rethought for even my own kids, how important is college? If I don't necessarily, if you need that to get there, then, but there's no shame in doing a vocation and doing a vocation well, especially if you love doing it.
Right.
There's no shame in, if my daughter wants to grow up and be a mom and have a big family and take care of kids, like, there's no shame in that.
No.
Want to make sure. My most important thing as a man of faith is just to know that, first, that they know God, and secondly, that they're living according to the wiring that he
put
inside.
But how would you even know God if you don't know who you are?
That's well said.
Okay, if you're just faking, if you're walking around acting like you are doing all this and doing all the right things, but in your heart you've got a lot of frustration and you're upset and you're mad because you're not able to reach your potential. So
right.
God is love. I mean, that's my definition.
Thwarted potential is really a dangerous thing to
people. Yeah. So acting like it, you know, without being able to manifest that's what, I mean, I'm just trying to get through the 9-step success process, get people to understand how to manifest it and go to the pit so they can really be who they need to be, and then you practice all those principles as a way to enhance their value.
Yeah.
You know, I'm talking to the real McCoy. I'm not talking to somebody faking and using it as a crutch every time they get weak, you know, but being able to manifest it through their own life and serve as a beacon in their own development, you know, because it's constant learning, constant developing, constant struggles, constant trials and tribulations that you're going to face with every single day, overcoming that, and then serving as an example first for your family and the friends around you to say, man, that Kevin, I'm watching him. And man,
well, there's power in seeing someone overcome obstacles that they, whether they're self-inflicted or ones that they just run across. There's power in that example and watching that happen, even in the humility it takes to even admit them sometimes.
Yeah.
But let me ask this.
Before we go to the next question, you said a powerful word, humility. How do you get to the humility of all of it?
Well, sometimes you don't have much choice.
Well,
like if your mistakes are big enough.
Yeah, right. But, you know, you're acting all big up top. You know, you got the money, you got this, you got that.
Yeah.
You know, the humility is hard to find it. You know, so how do you practice the humility of it and not the ego of it? You know, acting like you're somebody when, in fact, you don't even know who you are. You don't even have a process for being able to develop yourself. You don't even have a learning process.
And I think that's why, at least as a dad, one of the things that just my heart aches for is I don't want my kids to grow up to understand themselves to be anything other than who they were made to be. And if I'm putting subjective Kevin stuff on them, like, yeah, I want them to be a moral human being and be a good person and live a morally constrained life. I don't want them beating kids up at school and, you know, doing stuff. But, like, aside from that kind of stuff, like, I really want them to know who they are. I want them to find that identity.
And the example you use for your son, who loves nature and loves animals and all that, it's a perfect example. I'm going to protect what I love.
Yeah.
I'm going to create integrity.
I think my engineer is the same way.
The same way,
different box checked.
I'm just using
it
as an example because that's an easier example to understand. I'm going to protect what I love. I'm going to protect the animals. I'm going to have integrity in all of this. And he'll have to follow a process in order to be able to do that to keep the animals alive.
That's true. Well, and it's fun to see him now that he's reading a little bit to see where that curiosity goes. Hey, let's talk about... So somebody that doesn't have your book, what's one big idea you want them to come away from this book that is the reason why they should go get it?
Self-mastery.
Define what that is.
Be able to define who you are and work on yourself. I just want you to work on yourself. Work on yourself, work on yourself, and that's an internal process.
Mm-hmm.
Work on yourself so the better you become, the more talented you become, the more skills you have, the more you're able to serve mankind.
And that's really the ultimate purpose. We've been given all these gifts and all these talents and skills, but if we don't use them to make other people's lives better, we're missing the whole big picture.
In order to do that, you have to first lead yourself before you can lead other people.
Yeah. Stedman Graham, thanks for coming into the studio. This has been really special, and I'm glad that we had a chance to do it.
You're good. Let me tell you, you're good.
Well,
appreciate you.
God's good. I'm just trying to, do what he wants. That's Stedman Graham. Get the book, Identity Leadership. It's on Amazon at any of your favorite booksellers right now. To lead others, you must first lead yourself. This is Kevin McCullough.